Let them read its shameful financial provisions. Too big to fail laws, ensuring that the cost of a bank's collapse would be borne by investors, not taxpayers. Under TPP, giant global banks could scamper into private tribunals to grab billions of our tax dollars if they have to comply with such laws. Also, our nation's financial regulations would have to be harmonized to comply with TPP's extreme deregulation, recreating the anything-goes Wall Street ethic that crashed the world economy in 2008. A Robin Hood tax on volatile, super high-speed speculators? Nope. TPP specifically lets global banks challenge and kill these laws. This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop the TPP, go to ExposeTheTPP.org.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
This is Love in the 21st Century, and we are going to be talking about the ending of these intimate relationships. We have been talking about relationships in the intimate sense for, I don't know, at least 6 weeks, it seems like. So we're gonna transition here into talking about self-love and just taking care of the self here soon. But of course, it wouldn't be appropriate to stop talking about intimate relationships without talking about the ending of relationships. Right, Julian?
That's right. This is our last of a 6 or 8 or 20 week, I remember.
A long time.
Yeah, in Love of the 21st Century, we like to focus on all kinds of love. But inevitably and invariably, we end up drifting back to relationship talk. And so we decided to spend the past month and a half or so focused on relationship talk. But now that we're in the last week of that, the subject matter is breakups. Because those happen. And is there such thing as a healthy breakup? Is there such thing as unhealthy breakups? You know, we know that there are healthy, unhealthy relationships. So it only makes sense that there's a healthy and unhealthy way to end a relationship as well. So,
and we do have to put the disclaimer that we are not experts in either one of those methods. No. So, you know, it's just something that we're doing to entertain the conversation. It's something that inevitably is part of a relationship at some point or another, as the post for those of you that saw it on the good old FB states, you know, relationships end, whether that's, you know, by choice, whether that's by life decisions, or whether or not,
or
you know,
mortality.
There's a real reality right there. Yeah. So we're just going to be talking about the different potentials of that. And Emily Rose is in the studio with us today, as well as Bill Mash. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
And so Emily is a relationship coach and a women's coach as well. So I guess she would be the expert in the room.
More so than us.
expert on breakups. I don't know about that, but you know.
Well, that's a good question. It sounds horrible to say, but does it get easier? You know, like, is there such thing as, you know, I've been through this enough that this is going to be easier this time? Or is it, you know, it's a different animal every single time. And, you know, if it does happen.
Well, maybe we should start where you establish it's necessary. Let's have maybe like a train here that we're following. So establishing when is it necessary for a relationship to end. And so again, we're talking about personal choice then versus mortality, obviously.
Right.
Hopefully. And then also, you know, whether it's what's a healthier versus the unhealthy way to deal with the relationship ending. And then, you know, what's next for that, you know, individual, for both individuals or however many individuals were in your relationship.
I think it's important within a relationship to maintain enough autonomy, enough sense of self, that the bleeding over doesn't happen so much that when the breakup comes, like, you know, your whole identity's in a place of flux as a result. You know, to have enough of yourself, knowing yourself constantly throughout the relationship, that if and when a breakup, you know, happens, you don't feel like you lost yourself in the breakup.
I would say that, like, you know, breakups, you know, the question I think kind of what we wanted to touch on at first is when is it necessary? Mm-hmm. And it almost becomes necessary when you aren't, when you've lost that sense of identity, in which case mm-hmm. so many times then there is that, you know, it has a lot to do with roles, like the roles that we play in this world, you know, how you identify yourself, you know, mother, daughter, sister, partner, wife, or, you know, father, son, you know, partner, husband. These are roles that we play. And so when we start to identify and attach to certain roles that we're playing, especially in romantic relationship, we do self-define by that. And that is, there can be healthy ways of doing that and unhealthy ways of doing that, I think. But when it comes to breaking up and detaching from a role, it can be like detaching a limb, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. painful regardless of where that's coming from. I think also, though, there's a difference between, you know, you pose the question about, like, does it get easier, you know? And there's an emotional answer, which is, like, no. Of course, like, emotionally, it can be just as painful every time. But then there's the mental answer. And I think that if you have a certain level of consciousness around, like, why you need to break up or why this relationship is unhealthy, then whether healthy or not in this response, it can make it a little bit more emotionally acceptable that this mm-hmm. has to end or something.
I think it's important to remember, say you're the breaker. And not
instead of the broken.
Oh gosh! If you're the breaker, it's important to think. You know, you're not you're not dumping your boyfriend. You're not dumping your girlfriend. You are breaking it off with a person who has an identity totally independent of the role you've placed them in your life. And so when you go into, oh, I got to break up with my girlfriend, you know, it's like that's really the worst possible way, in my mind, to go into that scenario. You know, we were actually talking about this a little earlier, that I strive to keep the people I care about in my life, even if a breakup happens. You know, I consider a relationship a success whenever, you know, if it ends and I'm still friends with that person and we still care about each other and we still want the other one to be successful and help them in their successes. To me, that is, you know, a successful relationship with somebody. But that, you know, that starts by honoring who they are more than the role they play in your life.
Right. So something that comes to mind for me is like, what's the purpose of a relationship? So kind of, you know, going back and forth in that in my mind. And, you know, the purpose of a relationship is to bring joy and further happiness into your life, maybe new experiences, shared experiences. And I think when those cease to be, that number seems to be smaller than the other number of things that, like, is dragging you down, then it's probably a good time to evaluate, you know, the purpose of that relationship. I found it interesting, like, kind of the two different sides that you're both representing of, like, the autonomous, like, not being connected so much that you are, you know, you can stand in your power in the relationship or outside of the relationship versus the idea of a role or sort of like a wound. Because I would say that it, in my personal experience, it does get easier. You get stronger. You get more defined in what it is you want. You get more clear more quickly about it. There's a lot of different things that as you get older and as you experience more relationships and have to be choose to be in a reflective place, then you are going to behave differently towards the end of a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And going back to that unhealthy versus healthy that you're talking about, like that role or identity acceptance in the relationship or outside of the relationship, it's one of the unhealthy things that causes, you know, pain and anguish because, you know, pain is can be a chosen suffering. It can be like, you know, in every moment you can choose to have joy or to suffer. And it's like reflecting back on a relationship, just seeing it with like, you know, seeing clearly as opposed to we've talked about in the past shows, like when you are in a relationship or at the beginning relationship, oftenly things are just like, this hazy, beautifulness.
Like,
often, but not always.
Often, but not always.
Right, and that's. I mean,
hopefully, as you're more experienced in relationships.
Well, yeah. But as you get more experienced in relationships, I would say that part of the joy in a good relationship isn't just the way mm-hmm. that somebody makes you feel super good, but also the way that they challenge you. Mm-hmm. You know, and the challenge is
if you can rise to the challenge. If you're a person that appreciates that challenge, though, so that's maybe something that like. you know, speaks to the individual that's in the relationship, because some people don't want to be challenged.
They're absolutely in a relationship.
I remember one of my dearest friends. He's 10 years older than me. And when I was in my early 20s, he was in his early 30s, and I was hanging out with him in the Bay Area, going lots of places, you know, and, you know, dating and all of that. And at one time at some party or something, he said, "Oh, yeah, that's Julian over there. He still likes to date women that challenge him." As in, like, yes. he's like, he'll get over that in 10 years. And I don't think I have, to be honest.
You strike me as a person who likes to be challenged.
I don't like being bored. So I'll take the other side of that coin pretty much every time, personally. You know,
fair enough. Well stated.
Now, speaking of people who like to be challenged, you like to be challenged.
I love to be challenged.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Sometimes breakups can be challenging.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and even when you become evolved, like, or not evolved, rather, experienced.
I am evolved.
Okay, right.
You're done. You're finished. Evolved.
I'm ascending done. Right now.
More experienced with relationships, going through like the you know, the inception and then the breakup and like these, you know, going through all of it. Yes, you become more experienced, and sometimes it can become easier, but sometimes it also is still really challenging, depending on the depth that you get to.
Yeah, it's still very challenging. The emotions are still really real, and it's still really raw. It's not saying that, like you mentioned before, like that it still hurts. I mean, like, yeah, like the feeling of pain, like if I cut myself right now, it's still gonna feel as bad as when I cut myself last week. It's not like my cutting ability, you know.
Don't cut yourself, Hannah.
I'm cutting. I'm ascending.
She was ascending.
And
she's cutting.
What's going on here? but you know, it's not that I don't cease to, you know, to bleed in the same way. It's just that maybe my knowledge of how to care for myself, like to use like herbal remedies versus like using some chemical compound on my body, is, you know, more resilient. I know I have more knowledge that's going to help me to heal faster. So like, that's what I mean. Like, it's not the actual experience of pain, but in a sense, you can actually shorten your experience of pain by building a tool belt of what you can use.
One way to do that, which I had to do not too long ago, to shorten your experience of pain, is to actually recognize early on when something isn't going to be healthy for you in the long run. Like, you know, there are times where we get into something with somebody and we see early on that this is like something maybe that we're going to become super vulnerable in, that's not safe to be vulnerable in. And instead of realizing like our limitation there, we're like, oh gosh, let's just hope for the best and like fall in love and see where it goes and all this stuff, you know.
Isn't
and
that
like
all relationships though, hope for the best.
Well, but no,
hope for the best.
But what I'm saying is,
that's how I feel about my roommates right now.
Oh goodness!
Just joking.
And they're totally listening right now.
We do a roommate topic at some point.
Oh yeah, we kill
it. Yeah, I know, right? Okay. Living with people. But you know, like, so then maybe you last. Like, maybe you decide, okay, well, I'm gonna hope for the best, and like, let's just see how it feels to stay in love and things like that. And 6 months later, you end up with like a completely obliterated heart. Whereas in the first couple weeks, when you saw these signs, red flags, in other words, you know, you didn't just say, hey, you know what? Yeah, maybe I feel like I might be falling in love here, but I can see this isn't going to be good for me, and I'm going to cut it off. And you're going to break your own heart in that moment where you cut it off because you're falling in love. But if you've seen like the red flags, like maybe that's the healthier decision sometimes. Mm-hmm. And to say like, okay, well, that's going to actually facilitate a quicker healing than it is going to be to prolong this thing and get myself completely obliterated, you know, for months rather than days later on.
Right.
You know, we touched on the right way to break up, but I want to real quick talk about the wrong way. As
did
in,
we touch on the right way?
Well, yeah, I think we've been touching on like, you know, acknowledging your own place, you know, keeping your own personality together and all that through a breakup. But wrong ways to break up, which
text
still
message.
Happen all the time.
No, text message.
On birthdays.
On birthdays. That happened to me.
That happened to me.
That's TMI exposure right there. not this birthday though.
But any
my
degree
birthday's tomorrow.
Yeah. Any degree of revenge involved in a breakup?
Revenge.
Naturally, every listener to KZFR knows that revenge is bad, right? But any degree of revenge in a breakup, like I drug my keys into the side of his pretty little four-wheel drive, you know? Country music song, huge hit song about a girl whose boyfriend's cheating on her, and so she trashes his truck and cuts up the seats, and then you see the girls on the dance floor applauding like, yeah, get him, girl.
Oh my goodness.
That's not you know, no.
We don't applaud physical
or
emotional
or
mental
immaturity
or causing some kind of, you know, like comes to mind a year or two ago. I have a good friend who was, you know, fell in love with a woman here in town and they went for it for a couple of years. It didn't work out. And like a week later, she's, you know, at a party in front of him, like licking on this other guy's face right in front of him on purpose. You know, this whole like revenge aspect, you know, like I'm going to get you. You hurt me in this way and I'm going to hurt you in this way kind of thing. And that's like,
when you be the better person, you rise to the occasion.
Yeah, when you feel that one little sliver of that beginning to take hold in any kind of breakup, just walk away.
Go meditate.
Makes me want to talk about obliviousness.
Sure.
You know, well, not even avenge. Like, what if it's not even spiteful? What if it's just somebody being completely oblivious to their ex? You know, and doing things that are...
Well, in a level, being oblivious to an ex... can be a form of disrespect, you know, if you're not choosing to, you know.
But then again, I guess oblivion isn't really a choice either.
I suppose.
Right. Off topic here?
No, not at all. is there really ever an off topic when we're talking about love? Yeah, I think that when it comes to being oblivious, you know, there is legitimately oblivious people that are just like, I have no regard for the rest of the world. So yeah. they don't see what you see when you look at a situation that Julian's explaining. Like, I don't know many people that could be in that situation and not see how that would disturb the person that they were just with.
Right.
But, you know, and sometimes you convince yourself out of it that it's like, mm-hmm. Well, we're not together anymore, so I can do what I want, and that's just how it is.
And they have to deal with that.
And it is. Yeah. It is true.
It is true.
But there's a matter of, like, post-breakup respect that's still, like, you know, if you want to cultivate
that, it can still be categorized as revenge.
Yeah, you know?
If you're not respectful to this point.
It doesn't even need to be respect, though. Like, what's the other word? Like, conscientious?
Yeah.
Common courtesy?
Common courtesy, exactly.
Yeah, common courtesy. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't even need to be respect. Like,
right. Well... It's fine. We're gonna come to terms here with an amount of time. It's just, I think it depends on the individuals that were in the relationship, and you know, most of all, the individuals are not in the relationship, or you know, whether they choose to move on or not, what, how they view the situation, and like, as a, you know, person out of a relationship, I'd have to say that choosing to see the bright side and not being attached to the negative things, though it's easy to see spite in whatever situation you want to see it in, that's kind of just a not pleasant feeling to sit with. So, like, sit with the pleasant. Sit with what makes you happy. Like, even if it's not true, sit with what makes you happy. Seriously, like, make yourself smile. Make yourself laugh. Know that, like, everything is good and temporary. So,
well, there's that. And then there's also the, you know, you got to go into the emotional state.
Well, no, absolutely. But I mean, if it's about, like, dwelling in what your ex is doing,
right,
that's not gonna be healthy for
unfollow
you at all
on Facebook.
That's one of the things, unfollow.
Yeah.
I know we talked about this, Emily. Your opinions on amount of time talking to people.
Amount of time talking to people.
After you break up?
Oh. Well, yeah, my last relationship, I don't know if this is what you're referring to, but we definitely like put a boundary down for, we broke up and it was super amicable. I mean, to this day, he is one of my closest friends. Absolutely. But yeah, we definitely, you know, I asked for a boundary of, 30 days. I was like, okay, let's, you know, it's like the first today, let's wait until the first of next month, because I don't want to sit there and, like, you know, be triggered by, like, when I see his name pop up on my phone or, you know, on Facebook or something like that. I just want to be able to, like, start to move on, because that was where we got to. So I didn't want to have text messages. I didn't want to have any of that, because, or I didn't want to think like, oh, well, why isn't he contacting me? You know, I just didn't want any question around it. And then we touched base at the first of the following month, and we both mutually decided to put another 30 days intact, you know, like, okay, let's do another 30 days and see what happens then. And then we were able to communicate more readily after that and continue our friendship. But yeah, definitely, like, putting down a boundary around that is actually creates a lot of safety around being able to move on.
Yeah, I was trying to look some stuff up online earlier about it, and that was definitely one of the things that came up. It was definitely like, Don't talk.
You know, I would say, you know, we've said breaking up is hard to do, but that it gets easier. I do think that there is a danger in it becoming too easy.
Mm.
Right? The
emotional detachment.
Yeah, the throwaway society, right?
Mm.
Don't fix it, throw it away, move on. Don't fix it, throw it away, move on. You know?
Yeah.
So... You know, you can there's all kinds of literature out there to read about, you know, different types of breakups and how to break up and things like that. But I think, you know, it's important to, you know, break a bad love habit.
Where did you get that, Julian?
I don't know. I don't know where I got that title from. Buy it on Amazon, Emily Rose Coaching. Yeah, that's something that can be, you know, you got to be cautious of something becoming too easy.
And I think that that's a really interesting point, because in my last relationship, I was in it for about 4 years total, and I was so cautious about it being too easy for me to bail on this relationship, because I had in the past, that I definitely overextended myself. You know, so it's like finding that balance between, like...
What do you mean overextended yourself?
Completely, like what Julian was saying, I had no independence by the end of it. You know, we had to break up because we were in a completely codependent relationship. And so just finding the balance between, like, when it's something to stay in, or when, you know, stay in it until it's like time to leave and then leave, you know, don't try to deny that it's time to leave, kind of a thing. And don't leave too early. You know, that's the, like, fine line there that, man, it's going to be different for everybody.
Do we have a second to ask Bill his advice and opinion on the subject?
Oh, wow. You know, it's funny that you asked me, because it was a really cool thing, like Ham and Egg and Tammy here. I just posted this Wendell Berry quote that was, be joyful, though you have considered all the facts.
I like it.
That's great.
I
mean,
that's my contribution.
Yes, I like it.
Be joyful regardless, basically.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a cool idea, too, because we do, in our society, consider the facts. We stay in our heads with everything. We try to rationalize everything, and we stay out of the emotion, which is to be joyful or sorrowful or whatever is called for in that moment.
And to feel, to go back to what you were talking about, Emily, about, like, feeling that experience, another thing that I was reading earlier online about breakups is that, like, feeling that experience obviously is a very necessary part of the relationship. And if you are in a relationship that, like, whether you're the breaker or the broken, I like these terms, not saying that you're, like, the quick to detach part person, but you actually were invested in the relationship, it's never easy for either person. And so... you know, really giving yourself the time to mourn that experience and to really evaluate what, you know, what you gained from the relationship and what the reason you had to walk away from it. So, you know, there's lots of different theories out there online about, like, the amount of time it takes to get over a relationship. The most recent one I read was 10% of the time spent together.
Oh, I want to hear Julian's thoughts on
this. I have thoughts on this.
I know you do.
I have read that it takes men twice as long as the actual relationship to completely get over that relationship.
Oh, wow.
And that's an average. And that sounds a little bit too much. I mean, think about 3 years, it means it takes them 6 years to get over that, potentially. Now, I'm not saying the most forward thinking, most progressive people, but apparently the emotional average for men, because we do tend to take time to open up in a relationship. And so,
we just, as an
average, and at the time, this was what, like, 5-6 years ago I read this, and it was probably referencing only America, you know, so it's kind of a bit of a slanted poll, but, you know, that we do take longer as men to open up, so, you know, that opening is still kind of there and takes a little bit time to adjust afterwards.
I love, like, looking at stuff like this, and I wonder if there's I heard about this recently too, and I'm not actually sure if it was from you, Julian, or somebody else, but there was that not cultural, but like inherent in our, I don't know, DNA or whatever, that men do take longer and it has to do, or to heal from something, and it has to do with the fact that women have a shorter amount of time to have babies. Like, you know, only get till you're 40 or whatever. And so, more or less. And of course, not that, you know, people were dying at 40, you know, not that long ago. So, so that women actually had to process the emotions more swiftly so that they could go find a new mate and produce, you know, sooner, whereas I don't know, so because men have, you know, can procreate for later in life, so I have no idea about the validity of that. I just heard that.
Well,
that was,
you know, there's
too.
Kind
I've heard
of
that too.
There's so kind
I was
of
talking
the,
with you about it.
Yeah, there's kind of the stereotype of, say, guy breaks up with girl, right? Then maybe let's say they were in a loving relationship. Say that happens, and she's, you know, crying for 2-3 days, and he's, like, being tough guy about it. But then the stereotype goes that a month or two down the road, she's more beautiful than she's ever been, and she's very happy, and she's moving on with her life. And he's like, oh my gosh, I dumped the most wonderful woman in the world in my life. And so, like, it's that initial response of, in that particular situation where maybe she might be heartbroken, and he's feeling like, non-attached, non-emotional about it. But then doesn't take long before it's like, well, I didn't need that guy anyway. And the guy's, you know, this is something I've read about and seen quite a bit about. But then, you know, he's thinking, oh, you know, I dumped a really good woman because look at her. She's fantastic. She's
well, so there's also that thing where, like, guys, like, fight what you've been trying to tell them a long time or something like that. And then right. they start to realize, like, oh, if I had done this.
And maybe they needed to separate in order for her to be that person. Who knows? Right. Maybe she couldn't have been that person in the relationship because relationships have a way of affecting, you know, your growth. So... Mm-hmm. You know, I think the most important thing is to, like, you know, after a relationship is over, to take care of yourself, to really, you know, obviously not to dwell in anything, but do things that make you happy, do things that bring you joy, you know, really just evaluate, like, that part of you that kind of maybe got attached to that other person. Because the reason that breakups are so difficult is we move into this third realm of relationships, which is attachment. You're literally, like... Things remind you of that person, like, you know, because you spent so much time thinking about that person. So naturally, it's like reprogramming your brain about these memories. Like, I found myself having these experiences like, oh, wow, the last time I did this, I was with this person. Mm-hmm. And so reprogramming your mind to be like, okay, this is a new memory. Like, and even in a conscious level, making that, like, I'm making a conscious new memory. If it's that's where you need to be, then that it's good because it helps you to move forward. And, you know, one of my new mantras, a Buddhist mantra that I just recently learned was, let go or be dragged.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, boom, that says it all. And, I mean, I don't really want to be dragged by anything.
That's like Olympic curling.
Yes.
You just got to just real gracefully let go. Otherwise, you're going to be pulled along.
I like that. That's a good visual. So do we have any last thoughts that you guys want to share before we allow Bill to do some segueing for us?
We are not breaking up with you as an audience. This was just a test. Only a test.
As long as you're good and you call us in the future.
And, you know,
post on our
maintain
Facebook.
Respect and be nice to us in public.
We'll give us our space.
We'll keep playing our role if you keep playing yours.
Yeah. We'll check back in 6 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Also, big thank you for tuning in week after week, listeners. This show is a lot of fun for us.
It is.
Thank you.
So fun.
All right, I got a really good time-sensitive public service announcement, and that is AAA is offering free, that is underlined, free towing from 6 p.m. tonight till 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. You do not need to be a AAA member. Good for up to 10 miles for you and your vehicle. Call 1-800-AAA-HELP. And you have been listening to Love in the 21st Century, made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by the Printed Image, specializing in custom screen printing and embroidery since 1980. The Printed Image offers American apparel and organic cotton options and can be reached at 898-9525.
I'm walking through streets that are dead. Walking with you in my head. My feet are so tired. My brain is so wide, and the clouds are weeping. Did I hear someone tell a lie? Someone's distant cry. I spoke like a child. You destroyed me with a smile while I was sleeping. I'm sick of love, and I'm in the thick of it. This kind of love.